It's good to see you today. Glad you're here today. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful week we've had. It's a blessing from the Lord this time of year. Enjoy it. Enjoy every moment of it. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to 13th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Have you ever asked yourself the question, well, what am I to do? You ever looked at your situation, things around you, things are going on, and you've just kind of out loud kind of said that or something similar to it? It's like you're asking the Lord, well, what am I to do in the midst of all that is going on? Now, there's a small percentage of you here that have been on the planet longer than I have. Very small. It's getting smaller all the time. But I'm telling you, absorbing the change that is in the world today, it's like, I remember going to Charles Ellis School in first grade. In fact, my mom, my dad, and me had all had the same first grade teacher, Miss Edwards. But I remember them getting us out of class in first grade, 6 years old, and walking down to the railroad tracks to practice atomic bombing drills. So they could get us out of there. And all the old Sears building downtown for the longest time had that fallout shelter. Clee, it's good to see you here today, son. Almost didn't recognize you there. Clee donated his hair and for breast cancer awareness. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I'm not ADD. My dad and my brother are, but I'm not. But I remember that. I'm thinking, why are they taking us down here? And then my life has just been an unfolding of technology, of things, changes in the world. Changes that when you think it's going so rapidly at breakneck speed, I can't catch up with all of it. Then how about the last 3 years in the world? Just look at the world map. And we need to be catching on to it. We need to be catching on to what is happening. How quickly things are changing. The last 6 months, what has happened? It's amazing. Now, as you look back on your week, we've gathered here again. We've come back as the body, the larger body. I know we meet in our homes, but we've come back in this large body. And we look back on last week. Man, what happened last week? You know, some of you were just observers. Some of you were in the middle of some things that were horrendous last week. And then some of you are sitting here today and you're wondering, well, what happened last week? You know, it just, it went by. And you're asking yourself the question, what am I to do? What's my part? You ask God that. What am I to do? Maybe you really got kicked in the seat of the pants by evil, world, flesh, and devil last week. Not going to ask for a show of hands on that. Maybe you really got it. Ask yourself the question, what am I to do? What am I to do? Maybe you have, in recent times, have felt like the evil one has picked your pocket. Stolen time, money, resources. You feel like you've had part of life stolen from you. Maybe you've sat by and you watched another round of politicians that we put in office, seemingly more interested in, speaking of picking our pocket, doing that again and again. You're saying, Lord, what am I to do? Maybe you sat by and you watched the innocent, the disadvantaged, those who have no voice themselves that the world and the world system will listen to, be taken advantage again. Someone has taken advantage of them again. You've asked God, and what am I to do? In light of all that, I want to read you this story from Acts 13. I want you to listen closely, because this is another one of those. This, you know, last night at about 9 o'clock, I wasn't going to, this wasn't the sermon I was going to be preaching today. Verse 1, now there were in Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed over to Cyprus, the island. Scripture is called Katim sometime. And when they reached Salamis, which is a city in kind of southeastern Cyprus, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and also had John, that's John Mark, young John Mark is their helper. When they'd gone through the whole island as far as Paphos. And by the way, note there, it says they went through the whole island. Read a lot of commentaries, a lot of people have commented on this. It's like they were only here at Salamis and then at Paphos. It's like, boom, boom, that was it. But it's 100 miles from Seleucia to Paphos. And the scripture says they went through the whole island. And Paphos is way over on the west. So it took them a while to get through the island. We sometimes just see that as, oh, it was just a brief stop. This is no brief stop. And they found a magician there, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul appointed by the Roman emperor, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. And this man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Very important. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him. And he said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, who will not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind, and you will not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist fell upon him. And he went about seeking those who would lead him around by the hand. And then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Lord, my prayer right now is that you'll open this passage and you'll speak to us where we live. It'll not just be another little sermonette for the Christianettes, that we'll hear the Word of God today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, let's work back through the passage just briefly. They're up at Antioch. It's the place where believers were first called Christians, little Christs. And the scripture says they were ministering to the Lord. Ministering unto the Lord. Now think about that. We think about the Lord ministering unto us. They were ministering to the Lord. But what is ministry to the Lord? Well, in Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service to Him. So, when we minister unto the Lord, when we minister unto the least of these, what did Jesus say you're doing? You're doing it unto Him. So every time we're doing it, we give that cup of water, we share Christ with someone by word action. You know, St. Francis of Assisi said, you know, share the gospel if necessary, use words. You know, you're being His servant. It's not like I start out in the morning and say, now when I get to work, I'm going to stop and I'm going to go through a gospel presentation with him. And then at that meeting, I get by the coffee pot there at the office. I'm going to say a word then. Now, that's not usually how it happens. You know, 999 times out of 1,000, the way it happens is, if we go driven by the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, pray without ceasing. And it doesn't mean we're crawling around on our knees all day long. We're in a spirit of prayer. We're in a spirit of where God can use us. We've placed ourselves at His disposal. We say, God, just use me. Do whatever you want with me. And then we're just living the day. We're living the day in His presence. And we're serving, and all of what we do, it is as unto the Lord. Now, that's one of the things, by the way, a little historical thing for you. That was one of the things that was restored in the Reformation that came. By the way, Jay reminded us that tomorrow is the anniversary of the nailing of the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door October 31st. Days on the Christian calendar, on November 1st, All Saints Day. As God leads us each day to be His servant, to be that person that He has called us, that He has called us to be, we live it out as unto Him. The thing that was restored in the Reformation was the idea of a man's work. Because one of the things that had been lost over centuries by the church, that what people did on everyday life, unless you were a priest, what you did didn't matter. But one of the things that was restored was this, that everything we put our hand to, we're digging a ditch, it can be as unto the Lord. Every shovel that goes into that ground can be as unto the Lord. And none of this strict division of clergy and laity. And in fact, that's not biblical. It's all of God's gifted people. You need to think of your job in this way. It's one of the things that were restored by Luther and Calvin and Zwingli in the Reformation, was that when we put our hand to something, It can be as unto the Lord. Whatever we do with the gifts that God has given us, your job, the job that you have, what brings in the money, is God's way of funding your ministry. Who's in ministry? All of us. That's why, in that sense, we're apostolic, little a. Because we believe we're sent out. And that's what it says in this verse, that they sent them out. They were there ministering unto the Lord. Do you understand then? You got a little fuller meaning of what ministry unto the Lord means? And the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Speaks to them as a group. We're not talking one person that has a revelation over here and no one else. No, there is identification with it. It's kind of like that man that came to me one Wednesday afternoon years ago as pastor of his church. He said, "Preacher, I just believe tonight God has called me to come and preach to the congregation." I looked at him, sized him up, said, "Well, brother, until God calls me to let you in that pulpit, you won't be speaking to anybody. Because I'm the under-shepherd that he's put in charge here. And he hadn't led me in that way." You see, that there's regret, just like with a husband and wife. There's got to be a oneness in things. There was a oneness that is there. We see it over and over again in Acts. A oneness that is like, Vance Havner called it, is like the wind from elsewhere that blows into a place with the power of God. It was there. So, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas' name is mentioned first. See, at the beginning of things, Barnabas is the point guy. We talked about this before. Son of encouragement. And only a guy like Barnabas could have dealt with a guy like Paul. Paul was a prickly pear. He was tough to deal with. I mean, he was a type A off the charts. He got on people's nerves. He was caustic and all that. And there's Barnabas just smoothing the way for him wherever they went. And God used both of them. When they fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. And see, all the laying on of hands did was, that means, I'm in agreement, God, with what you've already said about them. And agreeing that the power was on them, that God was doing that. Because, y'all heard me say it again, because then, if it's not about God and His agenda, it's empty hands on empty heads, and empty action. So being sent out, verse 4, by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. All right, they're on mission. They're on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers. They reached the city of Salamis. There they began. The verb there means it was a beginning of something. It was a continuous action thing that went right on. It was a freight train of the gospel that was about to go through the island of Cyprus. The Holy Spirit was about to blow through that island like they had never seen it before. Imagine that. God's power come with them. Now, why would you think that they would go to Cyprus? Why would they pick out an island? Why didn't they just go on up around and go straight into Galatia, which is where they eventually ended up? Why wouldn't they go to Cyprus? Well, one reason was Barnabas was from Cyprus. Imagine that. Imagine God then parlaying, using the connections that someone already had. That's genius. The Spirit of God just tapped onto the network that was already in place. You see, in a church a lot of times, especially in the West, we spend a lot of time trying to create a new network out here. And we spend all this time trying to network out here. Oh, God, you need to work over here, work over here. When where does God want to start? Right here. Let me tell you, just get you a piece of chalk and stoop down and draw a circle around yourself. And ask God, God, start with everything in this circle. And He'll do it. What is your network? Do you think the Spirit of God might be knocking on your door? And all the junk that's going on right now, those things that I began with, and we're asking the question, what am I to do? Well, the first thing we need to do is to let the Holy Spirit speak to us and start here with us. Don't come to other people. Well, I've got an agenda for you. God spoke to me about you. Listen, don't tell me what God spoke to me about me until you're ready to deal with God, with what God spoke to you about you. That's where He begins. Always where He begins. Always. 100% of the time. That's a slam dunk. And man, we start getting that house in order, and look what happens. Look what happened in Cyprus. Imagine them moving through the island. They're preaching the word. They go to the synagogues too. Second level of the networking here. Because he being a Jew, they're already a network of synagogues on the island. So it's already got a ready audience that is there. A ready platform of connection. In every place they go, they're dealing with people that already have connections with others. Are you following me with this now? Okay. When they've gone through the whole island, as far as Paphos, they find this magician, a guy by the name of Bar-Jesus. Bar means son of Yeshua. Name Joshua. Name Jesus that we have it in English. In Greek it's Jesus. Son of Jesus, also named Elymas. He's a magician. And he is enjoying great influence with the proconsul. Now, Sergius Paulus is the proconsul. See some things about him. He's a very intelligent man. The Scripture speaks that of him. Now, why would it say he's a very intelligent man? Well, I want you to remember who is being sent there. Here's Barnabas, a learned man. And here is Paul, Saul, later called Paul, who is a Phi Beta Kappa. I mean, a guy that, you know, this guy, he's got the PhDs behind his name. Super intelligent guy. Imagine God bringing them together like this in His divine design. It always reminds us, who's God bringing you together with? And so, when they come to Paphos, Scripture says, Sergius Paulus summons Barnabas and Saul, and he is seeking to hear the Word of God. Now, this is Dusty's opinion about it. I think that what God had been doing behind them, every place they left on the island, that the sweep of the wind of the Spirit had already gotten to Paphos before they ever got there. I think by word of mouth, it's happening. But I think another thing is going on. I think word has gotten to Sergius Paulus, who is connected with these other tetrarchs, the ones from Judea. And all over the known world at that time, he's already gotten word. He already knows Paul. He already knows about Paul and what has been going on. That's my opinion. I can't prove that. But I believe that's what has happened. So he summons them. Elymas, the magician, he begins to oppose them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So what do you have here? We've got a throwdown. We've got a conflict going on. We've got a spiritual battle that's going on. Here's an instrument of the devil who is there, who is trying to play politics and keep this political leader in his orbit, in his gravitational pull with himself. And here you have Paul and Barnabas who come with a fresh gospel, the freeing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is irresistible. When a person hears that, irresistible. Now, I want to compare and contrast this Bar-Jesus, Elymas, his other name, which is probably some kind of Semitic term for a false prophet or magician. The word magician is from magus, a sorcerer. He's using magic. He is in collusion with the evil one and with the demonic realm in what he is doing. Well, I want to compare and contrast the two quickly. Let's look at Bar-Jesus. He had two names in the story. There's a parallelism in this story right here. There's a parallelism that you can't miss. That's right here in the story, that you've got darkness and light. You've got not God and God right here in the story. Follow with me. He has two names, Bar-Jesus, Elymas. Who comes and speaks the truth to him? Saul, also who became known from this point on as Paul. Two names. Bar-Jesus, the scripture says, is filled with deceit. You see, his claim was that he wanted to bring the truth to the proconsul. But here is Paul. What is Paul filled with? Scripture says it. The Holy Spirit. And so truth is just coming out of his mouth. Bar-Jesus, he is called. He wants to, his name is Bar-Jesus, Bar-Yeshua, Bar, son of the anointed one, son of salvation. That's what he wants, that's what he wants to be. And who really is influencing Paul? He is the real Bar-Jesus. Bar-Theos, the Son of the Living God. So you have a pretender, a poser over here, and you have the real, genuine item over here who doesn't have to do magic tricks, sleight of hand to trick anybody. He just comes out there and tells the truth. It's plain. Paul says of him, "You're an enemy of righteousness." He was leading, he said, the proconsul to the right. But you look at the real messenger of righteousness, it's Paul. Because Paul is going to show the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, the way, the truth, and the life. And he's going to show him how he can be right with God. Because that's what everybody desires in their life. Let me illustrate that for just a moment. You ever noticed how even the most pagan people in interviews, they're on TV, late night talk shows, on news reports, they're interviewing these people. And how they're espousing something that they've done, and you know it's wrong. But they always feel like they have to defend themselves. Why are they doing that? Because deep within, the Spirit of God is putting a finger on them and saying, it's not right. Why do these people go from one thing to the other trying to fill that emptiness within them? Because it's not filling. Only through Jesus can that happen. Paul says to Elymas, the false Bar Jesus, said, "You're trying every way you can to make the straight way crooked. In fact, what you're doing, you're complicating things." And what did Paul do? He simplified everything. And he made all the crooked through the power of God straight that happened. Do you see the contrast between the two? Then he speaks a curse on Elymas. He says, "You will be blind." Now, I want you to see the curse, because actually all Paul is doing is proclaiming to him what God has already spoken over him. The scripture says in Romans 1:28, "He gave them up." After a while, when you shake your fist in God's face long enough, what he says to you, says, "Okay, I'll let you go and do what you want to do. Here, have what you want to have." And that's exactly what happens as he speaks this curse. He says, "You're going to be blind." What did he claim? He claimed as a magician that he had special light. He didn't have any special light. He had the light of demons and of darkness. And God let him have darkness in his life. The curse went on to say he would not see the sun. He would be cut off from that which was simple and natural. He would be cut off from being able to see. He who claimed to be able to see and to be able to advise Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, he claimed all of that, and yet he was cut off. He couldn't see. A mist falls on him. A mist that brings darkness to him. But what had been happening on the island of Cyprus since Paul and Barnabas arrived at Seleucia, and then over to, from Salamis over to Paphos? What had been a mist was falling on the people. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that was falling. And instead of blindness coming to the people, what was coming to them? Light. The shackles were coming off them. They were becoming free in the Lord. Do you see the contrast here? I mean, you can't miss it. The Scripture says, further on the curse, it says, "And you'll be seeking those who would..." He would be seeking those who would lead him around by the hand. You see, this is where his magic led him. This is where his not God led him. And what happened to all these other people? The shackles have fallen off. The scales have fallen off their eyes. And they could see. They could see. Scripture finally says that the proconsul believed. Look what it says in verse 12. Proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. And we'll be very clear about what it says here. This man, this political leader, the Spirit of God was already dealing with him before they even got there. They cooperated with the Spirit. He invited them to come and speak. To speak truth, to speak the whole counsel of God to them. And he did it. He saw a power encounter. A sign, if you will. He saw what happened to Bar-Jesus, to Elymas, this false prophet, this magician. He saw what God did in his life. But that wasn't what amazed him. So, my message to you here is, don't change the sign for the one who the sign is about. We got to be very careful of that. Sometimes we get all enamored with the power of God and we forget God. The sign was to show Him. Show Him. And what is He amazed by? The Scripture says it. He was amazed at their teaching. What's amazing about their teaching? The gospel of the Lord Jesus. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I was burdened by my sin, now I'm forgiven. I was in bondage, now I'm free. I was tied up with everything in my life. My life was complicated, and now my life is so simple, I can live it out before God. He was forgiven. The power of the Holy Spirit came on Him. The Spirit of God, the very Spirit of Jesus, came to take up residence in Him. He was a different man. He was amazed by their teaching because now the teaching makes sense. It's like God comes in with that last ingredient. And what is the last ingredient that He calls on us to do? For by grace you are saved through faith. When His faith came, what happened? His eyes were opened. And God changed His life. Are you following me so far? A couple of last things. I want you to know today, our prayers can do whatever God can do. Did you hear that? Our prayers can do whatever God can do. Because you know what our prayers do? They get us in touch with Him. And we hang on and let Him do His power. I was helping John with a little electrical project yesterday. And I was reminded of something my daddy told me years ago when he said, I've told you all this before, he said, don't push that screwdriver into that box when it's hot. And hot means the electricity is on. He says, because it'll get a hold of you and won't let go. Guess what I did? Cram that thing right in there. And all of a sudden, and a jolt went through me, and it was immediately, a power came. I dropped everything I had in my hand. But do you see what happens when our prayers get in touch with Him? We drop everything that's in our hand. It's not our agenda, it's Him. Secondly, we've got to be very careful today in the church about sorcery, witchcraft, and magic. Let me tell you, there's a lot of garbage going on in the Western church today in the name of it being spiritual. That has nothing to do with God, the Holy Spirit. It's all about man's agenda and what man can do. This gospel we've been talking about is all about what God can do. I want you to see also, number three, we've got to be careful when we pay attention to distraction. I want you to note that Paul fixed his gaze on Bar-Jesus. There are other times, remember in chapter 16 in Acts when Paul's there at Philippi and the girl, the servant girl who's possessed by the demon, the python spirit, she is following him around day after day, aggravating it. And finally, after days of it, he gets tired of it and he turns around and he casts the demon out of her. You say, well, why didn't he do that days before? Because God hadn't called us to cast every demon out of every person. He's called us to do what he says to do, when he says to do it, and how he says to do it. This is no, y'all come, I've got a good idea, I'm just going to go out on the street and do whatever I want to do in the name of Jesus, and God's got to come and bless it. No, he doesn't. It's all about him. A lot of things, there are distractions. You know, I believe before, I've been on the way to something, a great thing that God wanted to do, and I got distracted by a good thing. Are you following me? We got to be careful not to be distracted from the main thing. And finally, we got to be committed to teach the truth. And the truth hurts sometimes. All through this story that I read to you today is truth. You see where it comes back to? At the end of the day, what's happening? Sergius Paulus, the political leader of that island, comes to Jesus and is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, what's important? What at last is going to matter to you? So, my initial question, what are we to do? We got to pray. We got to fight the battle against evil. We got to stay away from distraction. We've got to share the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that can save every man, woman, boy, and girl, and be filled with the Spirit and let God stir up the gifts in us so that we can be His instrument and see His signs and wonders taking place in this world. But I want to remind you, signs and wonders are not a worship unto themselves. They always do one thing if they're of God. They're going to point people to Jesus. Immediately. Let's pray. Has God spoken to you today? We're going to open the altar. Ask you to come. If you want to pray, we've got people around, pastors, our life group leaders will be around, standing around the side to pray with you. If you want to come and pray with them, if you want to spend some time at the altar by yourself, if you've never received Jesus into your life, He'll come into your life today, make you a new person. Just turn your life over to Him. If you want to be prayed for, if you want to be anointed today, if you want to be prayed for healing in your life, today, come. Come to Jesus. Whatever is going on. What must we do then? In light of everything, we turn to the Lord. Have you given it to Him? Have you given your job to Him? Have you given your situation, your house, the money you owe, your responsibilities? Have you given Him all that? He's ready today. Lord, we ask you to come now. Come. We've opened the Word. We've seen your truth. You've spoken to us. Now, Lord, move in us. Move in us, Lord. We have nothing without you. Everything we have, you've put in our hands. We give ourselves to you. If you've never received Jesus into your life, you can pray this prayer with me right now and ask Jesus to forgive your sin, to come into your life and save you. Say, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I give my life to you. If you mean business with Him today, He'll mean business with you. He'll change your life. Maybe it's time today. You're already a believer and you let a lot of things clutter your life. Maybe it's time to be filled afresh and anew with the Spirit of God. He's not going to come and fill a dirty vessel. Confess your sin. Ask Him to fill you afresh and anew today. He will. He will. Lord, we give you this time now as we open the altar. In the name of Jesus.
Is
Pray one more prayer for you right now. No doubt some of you this week, you were thinking, man, I wish somebody had been praying for me. You know what? They probably were. They probably were. But right now, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray God's power over your life this week. Lord, we're coming to you in faith right now. And Lord, represented in our congregation today are many problems. But every one of those problems is an opportunity for the power of God to be exercised. Lord, some of us need money. Does anybody need money here today? Anybody got bills you can't pay? Lord, we're putting those at your feet today. And we're saying, God, come with your power. Anybody need a job that's here today? All right. Lord, we're asking you, Lord, that you'll provide jobs today. Anybody need their business to be blessed today? Put your hand up. Lord, I'm praying a multiplication over these businesses, Lord, that you'll multiply, that you'll do only what you can do. Lord, that the customers, clients will come out of the woodwork. And Lord, they'll pay cash, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anybody need healing here today? You physically. God, we're praying you'll touch lives right now. Touch bodies and deliver them from the infirmities that's in their body. Jesus, by your stripes, we are healed for salvation and for salvation working out every day in our lives. Anybody here today that has a loved one that you are just worried about today? You don't know what to do with them right now. Lord, we're interceding for these people today that need you. They need you desperately. And we're laying ourselves out before you saying, God, do what only you can do. Use the people that are surrounding them. Lord, in some cases, these people are tired of hearing our voice. But Lord, let them hear the voice of God through someone else today. Is anybody here today that just needs peace? You want peace today. Peace. God, I'm praying the sweet peace of Jesus to flow through everyone who raised their hand just then. Just like the sweet peace of Jesus flowed through the island of Cyprus. The Spirit of God. God, I'm praying for situations, for families, that you'll put them back together in unity before you. Now let me ask you this question. Do you believe God can do what I just prayed? All right. So let's walk in faith believing He's going to do it. I send you out in the name of Jesus.
Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender. Thank you.